Avetsky, thank you. That was a beautiful and not regular introduction. Thank you. And as I was telling Rabbi Turetsky, I said there's no way that I could celebrate Yom Yerushalayim without coming to Shalvim and sharing in the Torah, the Kedusha, but ultimately even the personal simcha of Yom Yerushalayim without seeing all of you. And I really, really miss you. And I said my Wednesdays have not been the same without you. So this truly is part of my Simchat Yom Yerushalayim. Ki mitzion tzeitzei Torah udvar Hashem Yerushalayim. I feel that you haven't only enhanced my simcha, feeling the Kedusha of Yerushalayim, but definitely the Torah of Yerushalayim as well today. So without further ado, we're going to try to understand why we're so excited about the reunification of Yerushalayim today. What does Yerushalayim really mean to us in our lives? And what is it supposed to symbolize for us? Again, every time we learn Torah in Yerushalayim, every time Be'ezrat Hashem that you continue to come back and visit and ideally live in Yerushalayim. Again, what is it? So, or why is it so significant that Yerushalayim literally is, for us, the center of the world, O Rosh El Olam, the heartbeat of Am Yisrael? So for this, we really have to go back, and I don't just mean historically, but even philologically. All right, let's go back and try to understand what the root of the name Yerushalayim is, because that's what will help us understand the root of the city itself. So as you know, Chazal say, how many names are afforded to Yerushalayim? 70 names, right? Anyone remember some of them? We say them every Monday in Shir Shal Yom. Yifei Nof, Misos Kol Haaretz, Har Tzion, Yarkatei Tzafon, Kiryat Melech Rav, Klilat Yofi, Ariel. Anyone know any others? Tzion. Okay, excellent. But not to worry, because the Medrash continues and says, what everyone knows the city is? Yerushalayim. So where did the name Yerushalayim? Out of the 70 names, what's so significant about Yerushalayim? So let's take a look at the first Makor, where we find, based on Chazal, Avraham kara oto Yirah. Avraham named the place, again, Yirah, or we'll see the actual Pasuk, based on the story of Akedat Yitzchak, Vayikra Avraham shem hamakom ahu, Hashem Yira'eh, the place where Hashem shall be seen. So Avraham named it the city of Hashem's being seen. Shem kara oto shalem, based on the pasuk O Malki Tzedek. So Chazal are conserving the personalities, and Chazal say, who's Malki Tzedek Melech Shalem? He's really Shem ben Noach, who also called out the Shem Hashem. And Malki Tzedek was the king of a city called Shalem. So Malki Tzedek obviously associated the city with the name Shalem. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem said, Im kore ani oto yira'eh, kishem shekara oto Avraham. If I call the name of the place Yira'eh, based on the name afforded to it by Avraham, then Shem, who's an Adam Tzadik, he's a righteous person. Shem Mitra'im. Shem is going to get very upset. He'll be very insulted. Vim koreoni anioto shalem, Avraham Adam Tzadik Mitra'im. Then Avraham, who's a Tzadik, he's going to be justifiably insulted. And by the way, I don't know so much about Malki Tzedek, but from the stories of Sefer Bereishit, we kind of have a sense of Avraham Avinu's personality. You tell me, do you think he's the type to get insulted if HaKadosh Baruch Hu will call the name of the city Shalem and not Yira'eh? I don't think so either. And yet, what are Chazal trying to say? It's not necessarily Avraham, and it's not necessarily Malki Tzedek. Rather, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right, Hashem recognizes I can't forfeit either name. Each name is extremely significant. Each name is essential to what Yerushalayim stands for. So you know what I'm going to do? Hareini koreoto Yerushalayim, kamosha karush nehem yira shalem. Based on this, what is the source or the etymology of the name of Yerushalayim? It really is a conjunction between Yira'eh and Shalem, which means that in order to really understand what the city is all about, we're going to have to go back and try to appreciate the nature of these two narratives in Tanakh, the story of Avraham Avinu and Akedat Yitzchak, and the story of Malki Tzedek Melech Shalem. But even before we go on, we note that even though we call it Yerushalayim, both names ultimately are going to be preserved. Interestingly, Tosfot says, that's why Ein Anu Notnim Yud B'Yerushalayim. That's why, even though Yerushalayim, and almost every time it's written, by the way, how many times does Yerushalayim appear in Chamisha Chumshei Torah? None. Excellent. How many times in Tanakh? Or Nach? Over 979 times, basically. Again, nine of those times, something very interesting, it actually has a yud. All the other 970 times, no yud, right? It's said with a yud, Yerushalayim, but the ktiv is without a yud. And Tosfot explains why. So that when you look at it, what words do you see? Yerah and Shalem. Very nice. Why then do we pronounce it Yerushalayim? Also, Tosfot explains, for you to realize that it really is a conjunction, right? This is, what am I holding up? A hand, one yad. This is another yad. Together they are my two yadayim. Excellent. So I have regel, raglayim, yirah shalem, Yerushalayim. To show you that there are really two different names here. This is a composite of a plural. And therefore, to understand what Yerushalayim is, you really have to go back to Yerah and Shalem and appreciate each one individually, just to show you that even though we call it Yerushalayim, there are times in Tanakh that still the name of Shalem is preserved. For example, in Sefer Tehillim, Vahi b'Shalem Sukkah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Sukkah is in Shalem, Umonato, and his home is in Tzion, Tzion is Yerushalayim, Shalem is Yerushalayim. In the Targum Onkelos, when it says Malki Tzedek Melech Shalem, right away the Targum says Malka Tzedek Malka Yerushalayim. Everyone knows that this is Yerushalayim. But just like we have Shalem preserved, we also have Har Hashem Yeraeh preserved. Where did Avraham Avinu sacrifice or sacrifice Yitzchak? Where was this Har Hashem Yeraeh? Eretz HaMoriah, right? Sometimes Yerushalayim is still called Har HaMoriah. For example, in Divrei HaYamim, B'Yerushalayim B'Har HaMoriah. Right? And the Rambam, who's generally, as we know, a rationalist, right, who likes to look for the proofs of everything, to be able to follow the line of thought, here, even the Rambam says, Umasoret b'yat hakol. He says, everyone knows this. I can't really tell you how. It's just a legend that's been passed down generation to generation. Everyone knows that the place Yerushalayim, where we go when we offer karbanot, Masor b'yat hakol, Hamakom shebanabo David Shlomo, the place of the Beis HaMikdash, Begoran Aravna, Ho Hamakom. He says, with the name or without the name, we all know that this Har HaMoriah is the same Har HaMoriah where Avraham Avinu brought Yitzchak to sacrifice. And it's the same place where Noach brought his karban after the Mabul. And it's the same place where Cain and Hevel brought their karbanot, because it's the same place where Adam HaRishon brought his first karban. Why? Because that's where he was created from. So notice this legacy that we have, that the place of Har HaMoriah, the place of Yerushalayim, dates back, again, even without the name association, it dates back to Akedat Yitzchak and even earlier. Not only Malki Tzedek Melech Shalem, but Noach and Cain and Hevel and Adam. Why? Adam Mimakom Kaparato Nivra. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man from the place where ultimately he'd be able to achieve atonement as well. So that if man messes up, and if man ultimately should deserve to die, it's almost as if he brings a karban from the place where he was born, where he was created from, then he is able to be atoned and ultimately can continue with our relationship with Hashem. But now, as we said, in order to fully understand Yerushalayim and why Yeraeh and Shalem were selected over all the other possible names that are given to Yerushalayim, we're going to go back to the stories. Now, really, which story happened first? Akedat Yitzchak or our introduction to Malki Tzedek? Anyone know? You have a 50% chance here. So we would think Akedat Yitzchak because we call the city Yeraeh and then Shalem, but actually the Malki Tzedek story first, which is only going to raise the question, so why do we call the city Yerushalayim? Maybe we should try to call it Shalem Yerah, right? Try that 25 times. You still won't get used to it, I guarantee it. But let's go back to first the Malki Tzedek Melech Shalem story. So we're on page number 2. We're going to begin with Perek Yudalid, where we first hear about Malki Tzedek. And then we'll see some of the background material to this as well. If you remember, right, Lod has separated from Avram, and he lives in the very fertile area of Sdom, right, by what this is before was Yam HaMalach, Gena, where it was a beautiful river. And that's why the four Mesopotamian kings coming from the area of the Euphrates, they want to start conquering the slush area, so they come, and they basically begin to oppress and subject these are five different kings and these communities in this very lush, fertile area, and they tax them heavily. And after 14 years of being subjugated to the four kings, the five kings decide that they're going to form an alliance and rebel against the four kings. Who are these five kings? Breshit Perek Yudalit Pasuk Bet, Asu Milchama et Bera Melech Stone. I don't really know this character, but I already do not like him. Why not? He is Bera, right? What's that name? Bera. He is bad man. And who's his ally? Birsha, Melech Amorah. Don't do this to your children. Okay, what's his name? Russia. Right? Basically, the Torah is telling us, you do not like these people. These are really not such nice people. They're going to rebel against the four kings, and who then have to come from Mesopotamia to quell the rebellion. Amidst the quelling of the rebellion, the kings themselves desert the people. Can you imagine? What does that say about a king who deserts his own subjects? Right, very selfish type of personality. And what happens to his subjects then? They're taken captive by these Mesopotamian kings all the way to, basically, to the area of Lebanon and Syria today. One of the refugees makes it to Abraham to inform him that who's one of these captives? His own nephew, Lot. So what does Abraham do? He doesn't reject his family. Again, he's going to gather 318 warriors, and he goes up north and surprise attacks the Mesopotamian camp and frees the captives. He's now on his way back down south. You have to remember he's living in the area of Hebron. So he's going from the north, right? Let's picture through the mountain range of Yerushalayim, back down south along Derech Hebron, right, to get to Hebron. And this is the story that we hear. Pasuk Yudalei Vayishma Ram Kinishba Achiv, and then Pasuk Tadzayin Vayashav Et Kol Arachush Vegamad Lo Tachiv Et Urachusho Hishiv Vegamat Anashim Vechol Ha'am Ve'et Ha'am. He has the people to basically return to their lands. Amidst all this then, we're not surprised, who comes out to greet Abraham with all the freed captives? Melech Sodom. Why is Melech Sodom coming out to greet him? In Melech Beli'am, you're not a king without subjects. So basically, again, he wants to greet his subjects so that he can be their king again. So as he greets Abraham Avinu, don't look at the psukim just for a moment. Can anyone tell me, what do you expect him to say to Abraham? What type of announcements do you think he has to make to Abraham?
Thank you.
Thank you, right? Thank you so much. What can I do for you, Abraham? Because you have saved my people, right? That's what we're anticipating. Let's take a look. And Melech Sodom comes out to meet him. He chooses to meet him in an open area, which means that Abraham isn't back in the mountains of Hebron yet, right? In a plain area. Many people say that this is the area of Talpiot, of Ramat Rachel, right? Where it's still like relatively flat, where he can make a public announcement. And that's why it was called Emek HaMelech, where the king would gather an audience, like, you know, or maybe it was Teddy Stadium area, right? That basically a place where he can make a public announcement. So now we're all anticipating, what is this great announcement that Melech Sodom has to make? Notice, what does the Torah continue to tell us? Stop, time out, Pasuk Yudchet. Before we continue with our regularly scheduled program telling you about the encounter between Melech Sodom and Avram, now we're going to interrupt to tell you about Malki Tzedek Melech Shalem. And we're wondering, what? Right? Why not just continue with the Melech Sodom story? Who knows? Why does the Torah say stop? Let's freeze the frame so that you can also see Malki Tzedek Melech Shalem. Excellent. Beautiful, Alicia. Now, this is the Torah's way of setting up a foil character, right? You've all learned about literary foils. Wonderful. Again, Malki Tzedek is going to be the foil character, or basically the antithetical character to Bera Melech Sodom. Right? And in order for us to appreciate the contrast, the Torah is going to place them side by side. Now, notice Malki Tzedek. I really have never heard about him, but I already like him. Why do I like him? It's Malki Tzedek, come on. Gana, he is the king of justice over a place called Shalem. What does Shalem mean? Complete, it's perfect. It's a place of peace, right? Shalom. This is beautiful. Malki Tzedek Melech Shalem. Let's see what he does. He greets Abraham by giving him lechem v'yayin. You have to remember, Abraham has been fighting throughout the entire night. He's as tired and famished as possible. So Malki Tzedek provides him with food and drink. And you should know, we also like him because he's a Kohen Le'el Elyon. He's a monotheistic priest, right? Which, by the way, and it's interesting because many people say, well, I thought Avram was the only one calling out B'Shem Hashem. I thought Avram is the only monotheist. What do we see here? No, there are other monotheists. Right? Malki Tzedek believes in one supreme God, which only then furthers the question, so what's so special about Avram Avinu? Right, a little bit of a tangent. What's so special, Yochanan?
Because he actually spread it to the world.
Very nice. Right, so many parshanim explain, and Malki Tzedek is a Kohen in his ivory tower. Beautiful. Abraham is going out and doing what? Vayikra B'Shem Hashem. Vayikra B'Shem Hashem. Beautiful. Another explanation is that this Malki Tzedek character, he believes in a God, but he didn't necessarily can do as Avraham did. What do I mean by that? When Hashem tells Avraham, Lechelcha mi'artecha mi'molatetcha mi'beit avicha la'aretz asher areka, get up, Avraham, forfeit your past for the sake of an entire future. We don't know. Maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to Malki Tzedek and told him the same thing. What do we know about Avraham Avinu? Avraham does it. Right? Avraham is willing to forfeit everything for the sake of this God. It's not just a matter of belief, it's a matter of translating that belief into action. And Mordechai Ben David has a beautiful song that he calls Hineni. He says, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avraham Avinu, go, leave your father behind, and then later on when he says, leave your son and kill him as well, Avraham answers Hineni, and it's as if the deed is already done. Right? Inspiring all of us. The difference between being a believer and being a doer like Avraham Avinu is being able to answer Hineni, being able to tell Hashem, right, Hineani, here I am, to actually fulfill your action. Okay, but back to Malki Tzedek, we still like him, don't get me wrong. Again, he's a monotheistic priest, and he blesses Avraham. And look carefully at the bracha that he gives Avraham, almost anticipating what Melech Sdom is going to propose. He basically is telling Avraham, look, I know that, like, now you feel on top of the world because you just won a major world war, and therefore, chances are that Melech Sdom is probably going to want to propose that you be his ally, that you serve as his warlord in the area. But I just want to remind you, Avraham, Baruch Avram Le'el Elyon, that you're blessed not because of who you are, but because of your association with the Supreme God who created the Shamayim and Aretz. And therefore, blessed be your God who protected you from your enemies. Even though Rashi says that Avram gave Malki Tzedek Maser as precedent for giving a Kohen Maser, most of the Parshanim Pashtanim say that who gave who Maser? Malki Tzedek gave Avram a bracha in the name of Hashem and then gave him a tenth of everything he had. What does that tell you about Malki Tzedek's character? He is very selfless, right? A very giving character. Now we're going to defrost the frozen Melech Sdom frame. Everyone ready for this? Take a look. What is the first word out of Melech Sdom's mouth for you to contrast with Malki Tzedek? Vayomer Melech Sdom el Avram? Tein. What does that mean? Give. Right here, Avram just saved his entire people, and the first word out of his mouth is? Not thank you. Not wow, you are so great, and your God is so great. Rather, okay, give it. Give them over. Right, hand them over. Tein li ha-nefesh v'aruchush kachlach. Give me the people. Oh yeah, the spoils you can keep. Avram, very much influenced by Malki Tzedek, says, no, I don't want to have anything to do with you. I don't want to even take a shoelace from you, lest you say that we're allies, lest you say that we work together, lest you say that my success is due to you. No, my success, he says, harimoti yadi el Hashem, koneh shamayim ba'aretz. He gives the credit, just like in the same words as Malki Tzedek, he gives the credit to Hashem who created heavens and the earth. And he lifts up his hands. I always say he gives like a touchdown, you know, symbol, as if to say, it's all from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Aren't those what the football players are doing every time? They say like, it's from God, it's from God. Halavai. Okay, here we go, back to this. So what does this tell us about Melech Sdom? Now we understand that he is Mr. Selfish. And the whole point why the Torah juxtaposes the character is for you to realize it's not just Melech Sdom, it's the whole people of Sdom. They are a really selfish people versus Malki Tzedek and his city of Shalem. They are Tzedek people. They are righteous, just giving, selfless people. How do we know, even from before the chapter, that we really don't like the whole city of Sdom? The Torah told us that when Lot decided to live by this fertile ground of Sdom, van shei Sdom ra'im v'chata'im l'Hashem ma'od, because they don't have to be dependent on the rains, because they have naturally irrigated irrigation from the rivers around them, so they have nothing to do with God, and they are a very sinful people. So we don't like these people of Sdom at all. But now we see that in order to really understand Yerushalayim, if we look at the contrast, then we can appreciate Malki Tzedek, Melech Shalem, and what Yerushalayim is all the more. Just to give you an example, when Am Yisrael are about to enter Eretz Yisrael, we hear about the different kings of the areas in the land of Israel, and we hear that who is the king of Yerushalayim during that time? His name is Adoni Tzedek. So Ibn Ezra says, isn't that interesting? During the time of Avraham Avinu, the name of the king was Malki Tzedek, and now it's Adoni Tzedek, giving us a sense that just like in Mitzrayim, there were certain, you know, what position names, right, dignify names, like Paro, right, named after Ra, the Egyptian sun god. So too it seems that whoever ruled over the city of Yerushalayim, what I would say ceremonial name did they give him? You are Malki Tzedek, Adoni Tzedek, you're Mr. Tzedek. And even Ezra says, why? Because whoever became king of Yerushalayim ultimately was the king over a makom tzedek, a just place. What does that tell you? That it's not just the king who is just and righteous, it's also the city itself, right? And that's why the Midrash says, again, there must be something about the city. Hamakom hazeh matzdik et yoshvav. Right, just living in Yerushalayim made you a better person. How many of you feel that now, after a few months, right? Just being here. I have to tell you, driving into Yerushalayim basically every day, right, for those who are familiar with the tunnels by Gush Etzion, I come out of the tunnels, and firstly, it's always like a little brighter, because again, less clouds, and now Gush is, especially in the winter, is very much in the clouds, and you feel the sun, and automatically, like I feel, there's something special. Can't really explain it to you, right? Something about the air of Yerushalayim, that it's almost as if it inspires you, it motivates you to want to be a better person, right? To learn more Torah here, whatever the case may be. I'll just tell you a funny story also. When I was taking classes for my doctorate, so I had to go to Tel Aviv University, and I would get to know some of the bus drivers, right? You know all your bus drivers by now, right? And finally, one bus driver said to me, he said, "Ah, betach Yerushalmit." Right? He says, "I can tell you're definitely from Yerushalayim." Okay, Gush Etzion, Yerushalayim, close enough. And I said, "What makes you think that I'm from Yerushalayim and not Tel Aviv?" And I'm sure he was going to say, you know, because you're dressed, bitzniyot, or you wear a kisoy rosh. He said, "No." He said, "Because you smile and you say please and thank you." He said, "That's a Yerushalayim quality." So I don't want to tell him that I'm originally from New York. But, let him think that it's Yerushalayim. Yeah, now, because, yes, apparently there's something known about Yerushalayim. The Ramban says that it wasn't just known now, and it wasn't even known from the time of the building of the Beit HaMikdash. He says, you see that? Even the Jebusites, even the ancient Canaanites, they all knew that there was something really, really special about the city. He also says, Uba Kabbalah, it was passed down, that Yerushalayim Shalmata is really parallel to the Kisei HaKavod, Yerushalayim Shamala. You all know Avram Fried's beautiful song? La la ravon Yerushalayim. Oh, just making sure. Okay, yeah. No, then. Okay, let's say there. Lo avo Yerushalayim shalmata. Ad, right?
Yeah.
No? Okay, thank you. All right, Rabbi, let's go. Ad shavo Yerushalayim shalmata. I see you're all looking at me, right? Is there a man that I just don't see? Okay. Lo avo Yerushalayim shalmata. Ad shavo Yerushalayim shalmata. Hashem's kisei hakavod is not complete until he comes to his parallel city down below. So look at Ramban. The Ramban says, Me'az yadu ha-goyim. The goyim knew. Ki ha-makom ahu mivchar ha-makomot b'emsa ha-yishu. That Yerushalayim was the choicest of places. O she'yadu ma'alato b'kabbalah shehu mechuvan k'neged Beit HaMikdash ha-mala. They knew that God's temple up above was directly above this area of Yerushalayim. She'sham shechinato shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu she'nikra tzedek. God is the source of justice. And therefore, what happens if you lived in the reflective city down below? You automatically became a just person. You are living in the reflection of divine justice. Isn't that nice? And apparently this is something that was known. And that's why the kings are called Malki Tzedek, Adoni Tzedek, v'chulei. So far we've seen that we really like the city. It's a city of justice, going back to the time of Malki Tzedek. Maybe that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't forfeit the name, because he wants to remind us every time we think of Yerushalayim, that we're thinking of Tzedek, that we're thinking of Shalom, that we're thinking of the opposite of Sdom. Now what else do we know about Sdom? We already said, they're Anashim Ra'im v'chata'im l'Hashem Ma'od. They're very selfish people. But let's take a look in Bereishit Perek Yud Chet, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu divulges to Abraham that he's going to destroy the people of Sdom. And Hashem debates, should I not divulge to Abraham that I'm going to destroy them? And then Hashem says, but I have to tell Abraham that I'm going to destroy them. Why? Pasuk Yutet, Ki yedatib l'man asher yitaveh b'naveh b'toach harav shamru derech Hashem lasot tzedakah u'mishpat. Because Abraham is going to be the progenitor of teaching the values of righteousness and justice. So I have to tell him about Sdom. Why? Because he has to be sensitive to what happens if you do not uphold the values of tzedek and righteousness. He has to be all the more sensitive to this. And that's why I'm going to share with him that I'm going to destroy Sdom. Let's continue on Pasuk Chaf at the top of page 3. Vayomer Hashem, Za'akat Sdom ve'amora, ki rabah v'chatatam ki kavda ma'od. Because the cries, the screams of Sdom are awful. Right? What does that tell you? What's a cry? What's a scream? It's not just, you know, raising your decibel level. A scream is a cry of injustice. Right? Let's go on to the next pasuk. What else is associated with Sdom? Hashem says, Erdana ve'ereh, haketzakata haba elai asukala. let me see if the scream of the city that's coming to me is true, and I'm just going to destroy them. And if not, if I see that the scream is not true, then, meaning this cry of injustice, then veda, then I'll decide what to do. And even though the pshat is the cry, the scream of the city, there's a famous medrash, are you familiar with this? That the punishment for doing any type of moral act in Sodom was terrible torture. So lo and behold, the story, the Midrash, is told based on this pasuk of a woman, right? A female who gave an old man a morsel of bread, and she was found out. And what did they do with her? They covered her body from head to toe with honey, placed her atop of the rooftop, and had bees sting her to death. As she's being stung to death, she yells out a horrific scream. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, is that true? Let me see if that story is true. Let me see if the cry of that young woman is true. What type of cry is that? That's not just a cry of pain. That's a cry of injustice. That's a cry, right, of anything but sensitivity. Right? That's a cry of a complete, I would say, just an aggressive nature of the people. And this is what we're going to see is associated over and over again with Sodom. Selfishness, injustice, za'akot and sa'akot. And therefore, it's not by chance when in Sefer Shmot, Parshat Mishpatim, we hear about social laws. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you know, there are going to be some indigents in society. People are going to need loans. So you're going to give them a loan. But there are some people who are going to be so poor that the only collateral that they can leave with you, that they're going to pay back the loan, is going to be the shirt off their back. So Hashem says, so you must return them. If he gives you a collateral in the form of clothing, what do you have to do? You have to return it by nightfall. Because, for all we know, that may be his only garment that he has to sleep with. Take a look, Perach Chafe Pasuk Chavav in Shmot. Ki hi ksuta levada hi simlato la'oro. Maybe that's the only thing he has, b'meyishkav. And if you don't return it to him by nightfall, v'yaki tz'akalai. He's going to scream out to me. What type of scream is this? It's a stone cry. It's a cry of injustice, Hashem says. And if that poor person screams out, just beware, because you're going to be punished. I notice the parallel mitzvah, again, the positive side in Sefer Dvarim. In Sefer Dvarim it says, if you do return his clothing by nightfall, Pasuk Yud Gimel, Ulecha Tihyeh, what's the opposite of the Tzedaka of stone? Tzedaka of Malki Tzedek. Right, the tzedakah of Yerushalayim, if you do return it and you do act with justice and with generosity, then Hashem will reward you as well. And that's why when it comes to Yerushalayim, and not just building the Beit HaMikdash in Yerushalayim, what else has to be placed in Yerushalayim? The Sanhedrin. So that you have a place to go to, not just to talk to the Kohanim and to ask them your questions of dam and nega and nega, but also divrei rivot b'sha'arecha. Yerushalayim is a place of justice, and therefore you're going to need, right, the seats of justice. You're going to need courthouses in Yerushalayim to settle the issues, because Yerushalayim has to be a place of shalom. That's why the Rambam says that Ikar Torah Sheba'al Peh is in Yerushalayim. The Beit Din HaGadol has to be in Yerushalayim, because that is the source for Chuk and Mishpat. And Chazal even tell us that the name Har HaMoriah, they play off on the name, may even come from Har Sheyatsa Mimenu Hora'ah Li Yisrael. It's the place where teachings, the legislation, where judicial sentencing is going to come. Right, this is where Shalom and Tzedek are provided from. And that's why when David and Shlomo ultimately are going to rule over Yerushalayim, true, they're not going to be called Adoni Tzedek or Malki Tzedek, but in order to be a king over the city of Tzedek, what do you have to be? You have to be a Mr. Tzedek type of person. Don't worry. What is the first description that we hear about David from the time that he basically conquers and unifies Yerushalayim? Vayimloch David al kol Yisrael vayhi David oseh mishpat utzdaka l'chol amo. As soon as you read this, what do you know? He is the perfect person to rule over Amachon Tzedek. Perfect ruler for Yerushalayim. So too, Shlomo continues, and here's a famous story. Malkat Shva comes to visit Shlomo. She comes with her monkeys and her elephants, right? You're familiar with the story in Sefer Melachim? And Shlomo shows off to her, right? All of his buildings and all of his wealth and also his knowledge. And you would think, right, it's time for Malkat Shva, the queen of Sheba, to take leave. And what does she praise Shlomo for? Look carefully. Pasuk Tet in Malachim Aleph Perek Yud. Yihi Hashem Elokecha Baruch. She doesn't even directly praise Shlomo. She sounds a lot like Malki Tzedek, right? She says, it's not really you. May your God be blessed. that he chose you to be the king of Israel. Why? Not because you're super smart and not because you're super wealthy, but he made you the king la'asot mishpat utzdaka, because you are the perfect choice. You are the perfect leader for such a city of justice. And therefore we see both David and Shlomo continue this legacy, Avat, Tzedakah, and Mishpat in Yerushalayim. And what happens then when, unfortunately, the city of Yerushalayim does not live up to the standard of Tzedek u'Mishpat? Take a look at what we read, Shabbat Chazon, the Shabbat before Tisha B'Av, this famous Nevuah of Yeshayahu, who lived about 140 years before the Chorban. And what does he say? He addresses the people and he says, listen, Pasuk Tet, Lulei Hashem Tzvaot Otir Lanu Sarid, Halavai that Hashem should leave a remnant. Kimat Kisto Mayinu Lamorad Aminu. What is the greatest insult you could ever give the people of Yerushalayim? That's exactly it. Not only have you not lived up to the standards of Tzedek u'Mishpat in Yerushalayim, but you basically have undermined those values so much that you have transformed yourselves into the antithetical city of Stone. Instead of being like Malki Tzedek Melech Shalem, you are more like Mr. Bira Melech Stone. The Anashim Ra'im V'Chata'im LaHashem Ma'od. Instead of being people of Tzedakah, we're going to see this in just a moment, you have transformed yourselves to people of Se'aka. That's exactly it. And therefore, he mocks the officers and he says, Shemu, right? He turns to them, Shemu Dvar Hashem Kitzinei Sdom. Hazino Tarat Elokim Amamora. Not only, by the way, is he berating them, but by calling them the people of Sdom and Amora, what is he telling them? What are you going to deserve? Complete destruction. Echa Haita Lizona Kirya Namana. How did this happen? How did it happen? It's one thing if a city turns corrupt. But Yerushalayim, which represents everything ideal about justice and peace in this world, how could this happen that you turn from a city of fidelity, a city of credibility, into a city of promiscuity? Hashem filled you with tzedek, mileti mishpat, tzedek yalinba. Ve'atamaratchim. And now you've become murderers. Nefer says, there's only one way to fix this problem. And that way, the only way to save you, Yerushalayim, is to restore the value of Tzedek u'Mishpat. So one day, Hashem is going to restore Vashiva Shoftaich Kaverishona, V'yoatzach Kedvatchila, Acharechein Yikarei Lach Ir HaTzedek Kiryah Nemana. Once you start living up to the values of Tzedek u'Mishpat again, then you can go back to your previous reputation of being a city of justice. Tzion b'Mishpat Tipadeh, the only way that Tzion's going to be saved is through Mishpat. And therefore also in his famous Mashal HaKerem in Yeshayahu Perakeh, he uses the same terminology. He says, what happened to you? Hashem had such high hopes for you in Yerushalayim, that this was going to be the city that would help develop you into a kerem, into a beautiful vineyard. But what happened? Instead, Ki Kerem Hashem Tzvaot Beit Yisrael. That's just a mashal, B'nai Yisrael. You are the vineyard. Ish Yehudah Natasha Shuav. But you planted, and you planted terrible actions. Vayikav Lemishpat. So Hashem hoped that you would develop with the values of Yerushalayim into a people of justice. V'hine mispach. But what did you turn into instead? What's mispach? Pach? Turned into garbage. Tzedakah. Hashem was hoping that you would promote the values of tzedakah, and you can fill in the blank on your own. V'hine tzedakah. Instead of living up to the values of Malki Tzedek, you have become the people of the tzaakot of Sdom and Amora. And that's why Yirmiyahu also says, one day after the Chorban, we're going to fix this. Hashem is going to restore David to do what? A descendant of David HaMelech. Yana tzemach tzedaka v'asa mishpat utzdaka ba'aretz. And only then, ze asher yikra la Hashem tzidkenu. Hashem is going to have to help us, together with a proper leader, the descendant of David who performed tzedek u'mishpat, to reestablish these values that are the core values we say in Hosea. Yana wena. When men put on their tefillin, verastich li la'ulam, verastich li b'tzedek u'mishpat, uv'chesed u'brachamim, verastich li b'emunah v'yadat Hashem. We have to wrap ourselves up with these values of Yerushalayim of tzedek u'mishpat. Therefore, take a look at this mizmor that I hope by now on Yom Yerushalayim you've already said a few times. And certainly, as you go to dance in Yerushalayim, the minhag is to say this mizmor as you approach the gates of Yerushalayim. Tehilim kuf chaf bet. Shir hamalot le David. Samachti ba'omrim li beit Hashem nelech. What is the mishorer? What is the poet saying here? I get so happy when what? When my friends come up to me and they say, Come on, right, Shani? Let's go to Yerushalayim. Notice what gets him excited. Not only that he's being invited to go to Yerushalayim, that gets him excited, but after that, he's going with whom? With his friends, right? He enjoys the social nature of going to Yerushalayim. Amdot hayu ragleinu b'sharayach Yerushalayim. So magnificent, right? Remember, I don't want to give it away. Again, now you're going to be so excited when you see so many thousands of people, right? Entering in Shar Tzion and Shar Shechem and Shar Yafo. Again, now, it was so beautiful when we reached the gates of Yerushalayim, because that's when we noticed Yerushalayim habniya ki'ir shechubra la yachzav. It's a city that literally is enjoined together. So we already saw the first source that literally the name of the city is enjoined together, Yira and Shalem. But now, what does he mean? A city that's enjoined together. So Chazal say, it's an ear, she'osa ko Yisrael chaverim. Yerushalayim is a city that just brings everyone together and makes everyone friends. And you're going to be so astounded how today, like thousands of years ago, as you look by the gates of Yerushalayim, who are you going to see entering Yerushalayim together? Shashama alu shvatim shifteya edut liYisrael. You're going to see all different members of Am Yisrael, all different types of hats, again, all different types of kippot and no kippot, all different types of colors. Yerushalayim is a city that does what? Unites us all. Shalosh pamim bashana yira'eh kol zerchorcha epnei Hashem elokecha. 3 times a year, we just leave all our stereotypes behind, and we just come and enjoin together in Yerushalayim. He says, it's so beautiful. Right? He's so excited by what? Seeing so many people, right? So many people being united in Yerushalayim. And that's why, more than saying, oh my, look how beautiful the Beis HaMikdash is, look at what he comments on in Pasuk Hei. Ki shama yashvu kisot lemishpat, kisot lebeit David. Look how amazing it is that there are so many courthouses in Yerushalayim. Do you mind if I ask you, when you go to Chutz Laretz and your friends and family ask you, what was the highlight of being in Yerushalayim? What are you going to say? Okay, not everyone together at once. But, Anna, what do you love most about Yerushalayim?
The Kotel.
The Kotel, right? Is that what most of you are going to say? The Kotel. Yeah. Some of you are going to say just learning Torah in Shalvim for women in Yerushalayim, right? Some of you may say, I love going shopping, Machane Yehuda on Erev Shabbos, right? That's fine, very nice. But what is he like? It's like coming back and saying, yeah, I was just so amazed by the Supreme Court building. Like, how many of you are going to say that? By the way, have you been to the Supreme Court building? It really is very impressive and architecturally designed brilliantly. But I don't think you're going to say that. But this Mishorer says, I loved it. Oh my gosh, here I am. And I see Beit Din. What? That's what you're talking about? You're talking about Beit Din? You're not talking about the Beit HaMikdash? Yes. Why does he think that Beit Din is so magnificent? Shalu shlom Yerushalayim yishlayu ovayach. Because they're there to secure the peace of Yerushalayim. Because that's what Yerushalayim is all about. This is the place, the bastion of justice and of peace for all of Am Yisrael. Yehi shalom b'chilech. If there's peace in Yerushalayim, shalva b'amanotayach, then that will spread to everywhere else. Laman achai v'rayai adabrana shalom b'ach. And I say this, he says, because I'm concerned for the welfare of all of my brothers. Laman beit Hashem elokeinu avak shatov lach. Only at the end he says, and it's also good for the Beis HaMikdash, that if we get along, ben adam l'chavero, due to the value of tzedek u'mishpat in Yerushalayim, then this is what will keep the Beis HaMikdash standing as well. And basically, from here we've seen, my HaKadosh Baruch Hu certainly cannot forfeit the value of Shalem, cannot forfeit the value of tzedek. That's the heartbeat of Am Yisrael. This is what reminds us of what we're supposed to be striving for in our day-to-day lives, whether we're in Yerushalayim or not in Yerushalayim. Our focus is on the value of Shalom, on Ben Adam L'Chaveru. Wait a second, we forgot about the other name that Hashem says he can't forfeit, namely Yira'eh. That's a story of Avraham Avinu. So let's take a look at Avraham Avinu's story, page 5. Firstly, noticing that in Sefer Devarim, Hashem says, I just want you to know that what goes on in Yerushalayim, that's where you worship me the way that I tell you to worship me. And even if you like what the Goyim do when they stand on their head and they spick nickels, again, just know that that doesn't do anything for me, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I want you to worship me based on the way that I tell you to. God-mandated laws. Right? Very, very interesting. Lo tasun kin l'Hashem elokechem. Rather, come to the Beis HaMikdash, and that's where you worship Hashem ben Adam l'makom, on God's terms. Okay, with that in mind, we'll see that Avraham Avinu is really the one who established the precedent for this. Hashem comes to him and says, okay, kachna pincha et yechitcha asher ahavta et yitzchak v'lech lecha el eretz ha-moria v'aleu sham lola al ha-harim asher omar elecha. Not even going to give you more details than that. This is what I want you to do. I told you to. As soon as Hashem says, get up, slaughter your son, what does Avram do? V'yashkem Avram b'boker v'yachavosh et chamaro v'yakam v'yelech el ha-makot asher amar lo elokim. He goes. He doesn't even know the actual place. He knows Eretz HaMoria, somewhere in the Moria mountain range. And then on the third day, he lifts his eyes up. Vayaret HaMakom Mirachok. So he tells his attendees, you stay here. I'm going to go up with my son. Melcha ad kol v'nishtachaveh v'nashuv v'ayelichem. Vayikach Avram et atzei ha'ola v'yasam l'yitzchak b'no. Vayikach b'yado et ha'ish v'et ha'machelet l'shchot et b'no. Avram is very focused on everything that Hashem is telling him to do. And even when his son asks him, Avi, right, where's the meat? Avram answers, Elokim, you're Elo Hasel, Lo La Bini. Don't worry, God will take care of that too. Vayavo El HaMakom Asher Amar Lo Elokim. Avram does exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him. So when the Malach stops him and says, now don't, Al Tishach Yadcha LaNa'ar, V'Al Ta'as Lo Me'uma, Ki Ataya Dati, because now I know. It doesn't say now I know that you love God. It says Ataya Dati Ki Yirei Elokimata. Now I know that you fear God. This is a place that expresses fear of God. In this story, what does it mean that Avram feared God? What did he do? What does it mean to fear Hashem? It means to do whatever it is that God asks you to do, even if it means suspending your paternal love for your son, right? Which the Danish philosopher Søren Kierkegaard said is what transcends, right? Enables Avram to transcend into a knight of faith. Right, for he is able to basically withhold this paternal love for the sake of God. Right, that's what a Yirei Elokim is. Someone who listens to God simply because God said so. And that's what Rashi says. Every time Hashem says, yes, Elokim Yirei Elohese, Elokim Yivchar. This is what God has selected, and Avram recognizes that. And in the place where Hashem sees that Avram is a Yirei Elokim, from the word of Yirah, what does Avram say? This is also Ataya Dati. After Yirei Elokim Ata, Avram calls the name of the place Hashem Yireh. This is a place where Hashem sees. Hashem sees our Yirah here in Yerushalayim. And also Bahar Hashem Yireh. And then Hashem can be seen by man. So if I ask you, what is the story of Aketat Yitzchak coming to teach us? Clearly the value of Yirah. That this is the place where Hashem is waiting to see, where Hashem is waiting and anticipating our Yirat Hashem, where Hashem wants to see our Ben Adam Lamakom expressed. And now we understand, wait a second. Hashem says, I can't forfeit either name. Yerushalayim is a place of Yirat Elokim. Yerushalayim is a place of Ben Adam Lamakom. We have to remember that our job here, based on Yerushalayim, focused on Yerushalayim, is to listen to what HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands of us. And again, there's another value, and that's the value of Shalom, Ben Adam L'Chaveru, and we need both values. And that's why when Yerushalayim is first founded as our national capital, we need two different personalities. We need the David personality. What do you know about the David personality? Take a look at when Shmuel anoints him. Right, Shmuel is very depressed that Shaul is not going to continue as king, and Hashem says, get over it. Right, time for you to go through Yerushalayim for the first time and anoint one of the children of Yishai. So Shmuel comes to Yishai's house, there's a big barbecue, and the first son comes out, Eliab, and he looks, he's tall, dark, and handsome like Shaul. And Hashem says, don't get any ideas, Me'astihu, I don't like the Shaul types. Stop looking with your eyes. Adam yireh le'inayim, Hashem yireh lalevav. Right, look straight to his heart. So he realizes that child number two, Avinadab, child number three, four, five, six, seven, and none of them, gam bazeh lo bachar Hashem. Hashem says, no, this is not the Ben Adam Lamakom personality that I like. So Shmuel turns to Yishai, do you have any more children? Yeah, some number eight. Number eight is a young shepherd by the tzon, by the flock. Okay, bring him in. Vayishlach v'yivyehu v'hu admoni. What does that mean? That's what everyone says. No offense to redheads. Yana, sorry, Alana, but Yana, basically it means ruddy, right? That basically ruddy complexion. Yana, that he has. And now take a look at the next phrase. V'hu admoni im yefe einayim. What does that mean? That is? Sorry? Nice eyes. Is that weird? I always picture blue. Maybe brown. Okay. Okay. Ganna, that lo and behold, Ganna, here we see the beautiful idea of he has beautiful eyes. In this context, what does it mean that he has beautiful eyes? What did Hashem just tell Shmuel? That Elohim Yireh Lalevav. He knows how to see like HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? He follows HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Notice that it also says V'tov Ro'i, which can mean either he's good looking or he sees well. What, he has 20/20 vision? I have no idea. But I know that he has the vision that HaKadosh Baruch Hu anticipates. Vayom Hashem, so Hashem tells Shmuel, Kum Mishachehu Ki Zehu. This is the one that I've selected. This is my man. This is a Ben Adam L'makom personality. And David, with the same exact phrase that Hashem used to select him, David recognizes when he sees the Malach on top of Har Habayit after the Magefa that strikes him after the census that he basically assigns within Am Yisrael, and he sees the Malach with those words. Look at Tiberi Hayamin Vayomer David Zehu Beit Hashem. I know how to see. I know how to select like HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is what God wants. This is the place of the Beit HaMikdash. David is the Ben Adam L'makom. David is Mr. Yira, like Avraham Avinu. But take a look at that same parak. Hashem explains to David, even though you're such a wonderful personality, David, and I'm so happy that you conquered Yerushalayim, I'm sorry, but you're not the one who can build the Beit HaMikdash. Who remembers why? It says because you have so much Yira, but what are you missing? Hashem says, Dam larov shafachta. But you spilled too much blood. You had to. You had to go ahead and you had to conquer the nations. But that means that what component is David missing? He's Mr. Yira, but he's not Mr. Shalom. He doesn't have that value of peace that's is recognized. And therefore, you can't build the Beis HaMikdash. You can't build up Yerushalayim in a way that it will stand for eternity. Ki damim rabim shafachta arta lefanai. But not to worry, David. Hinei ben nolad lecha, hu ye ish menucha v'anechoti lo mikol oivad misaviv, ki shlomo yeye shmo, v'shalom v'sheket etein al Yisrael b'yamav. Who will literally and physically compliment you? Your son Shlomo. What's his name? Shalem. Shlomo. He will represent Shalom. He, thanks to all of your melchamot, he will live during a time of peace. Hu yivne bayit lishmi. He will build the bayit in such a way, v'achinoti kisei machoto Yisrael adolam, that the values of Yerushalayim will be manifest for eternity. You're going to rule the city with Yira, but he's going to show that it's Yerushalayim, which brings us now basically to the end. But still, again, didn't the Shalom story happen first? Maybe we should call it Shalem Yirah. No, what value then do we see? Must come first? The Ben Adam L'chalit Makom. That first we need that Yira. First we have to remember that all of our morality is going to be defined by HaKadosh Baruch Hu as well. First we have to be godly focused. Take a look at this Mizmor Tehillim that you say every night. Shir HaMa'alot, Ashrei Kol Yirei Hashem, Ha'olech B'drachav, Yegia Kafecha Ki Tochel, Ashrecha V'tov Lach. Again, no matter where you are, what do you have to be? You have to be a Yirei Hashem. We've already discussed, what does it mean to be a Yirei Hashem? Follow the mitzvot. Do what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants because Hashem said so. And not to worry, Hashem will reward you. Ishtecha ki gefen pariyah b'yarkitei beitecha. Banecha kishtilei zeitim saviv l'shochanecha. You'll have a wonderful family, numerous children. Hinei kichin yirach gever, Yirei Hashem. Because this is how Hashem blesses a good Yirei Hashem. And technically, this should be the end of the mizmor. Because that's not the end. It's not enough to be a Yirei Hashem. Yerushalayim teaches us that we need the value of Yira, demonstrated by Avraham Avinu, by Akedas Yitzchak, built upon by David during his time. But we also need Shalom. Yevarechacha Hashem Mitzion. Once you're a Yirei Hashem, then you are privy to the blessings of HaKadosh Baruch Hu from Tzion, Urei B'tzuv Yerushalayim. Then you can see the beauty that's inherent within the city of Yerushalayim. And what's the beauty inherent in Yerushalayim? Not just Yira, but Urei Vanim Levanecha. Shalom, Yisrael. Then you'll be able to appreciate the value of Shalom as well. And therefore, our challenge, every time we celebrate Yerushalayim, when we have an opportunity once a year to really focus in our heart and our souls on Yerushalayim, to appreciate what it means, not just that we can daven by the Kotel in Yerushalayim, but we can live in Yerushalayim, and we can literally fulfill the mitzvos in Yerushalayim. We remember that Yerushalayim represents for us the true values of what it means to be part of Am Hashem. what Yerushalayim reminds us of is that we need the Ben Adam L'Makom as the basic foundation, but we can't forget the Ben Adam L'Chaveru. And therefore Yeshayahu says, ideally, you know what's going to happen one day? One day, the waters are going to come from Yerushalayim. The Torah, the values of Yerushalayim, will be so strong that they're going to make their way down to the Arava. What's the Arava? The area of Sdom, Yam HaMelech. Going to go all the way to the Sdom, to the Tza'aka, to the immoral places, and take a look at Perek Aleph Pasuk Gimel, Vayasa Midbara Ke'eden. The waters, the values of Yerushalayim will transform the wilderness, the deserts, the vacuum of values in the area of the Arava into Gan Eden. Sason v'simcha yematzeba toda v'kol zimra. Yom Yerushalayim Sameach.